read me romance, read, read me romance, read me romance, read, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax and unwind and read me romance, read, read me romance.
Hello everyone, happy Friday.
Hi, it's Friday.
We made it once again.
I'm doing a little, read me romance dance. Let's do
it. So we're here for the fifth installment of Mated to the Reaper by Alexa Riley.
You know what we should do?
What?
You know what we should do? We should talk for 3 hours and then forget to play it and then just shut it out.
Just to punish them for emailing me for months about it. Yeah.
No.
Payback's a bitch, motherfuckers.
Yeah, getting that epilogue.
I know. That's going to be all Tessa, not us. Make sure you send your complaints to readmeromance@gmail.com.
Although, like,
direct them to Tessa.
It was great. There was so much more boning in this one than there was in Closer that I was like, ooh, they're going to bone again. Yeah. This is great. And, like, there was one scene where, like, the family was, like, outside knocking on the door while he was, like, inside of her. And I was like, oh, my God, please let them walk in. Please let them walk in.
Listen, I want to write that so bad, but, like, you know, we have to be careful about some things for Amazon. And I was like, I'm not going to want to go back and rewrite this so we can publish it on Amazon, so I'm just going to write it how we want to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to double your work just to make me happy.
I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry at all. My goal in life is to create more work for Tessa.
Okay, first of all, before we get into anything else, Leah has something she would product that she would recommend to everybody.
We're going to talk about her periods. Yes. This is not an advertisement. I want to start at the top with this. And this is something I actually wanted to talk about on my week with Jen Frederick, and I forgot. But so I was on Instagram. This has been a while back, and Jen and I have talked about it before. There was an ad. It's called Think, THINX. I think that's how they have it. They're period panties. So they're underwear that you wear when you have your period and you don't wear anything else with it. So, like, they just absorb what you have. And then after you get done with them, you can rinse them out in the sink or if you want to, and then just throw them in the washing machine. You just don't dry them. But you wash them. And they're, like, regular underwear. They come in, like, briefs. You can get cotton ones or nylon or thongs. Like, that's what we were talking about before. I was like, because we finished recording Mondays, and I was like, oh, you know, I said, have I told you about period panties? And you were like, no, just wait. We'll talk about it on the air together. So before I tell you, so, like, that was what I wanted to talk about, because Jen and I talked about it, and she tried them before me, and I was like, okay, tell me. I had, like, tons of questions.
Why are they so much better? Why are they so much better than, like, a tampon or a pad?
It doesn't feel like, well, I like tampons, but sometimes, like, I'm a really heavy flow. Like, the first 2 to 3 days, it's like I'm hemorrhaging. Like, someone has come in and committed a homicide. It's awful. So, like, I have to wear a period. Like, I have to wear a tampon, and then I have to wear, like, backup stuff. So this, like, on my really heavy days, it kind of takes the place as a backup. You don't have to wear anything else with it. So it's kind of nice, like, to just wear a tampon. But on my lighter days, I don't have to wear a tampon or anything. So I just think it's awesome.
I'm going to check this out. I've been, like, paranoid lately about toxic shock syndrome, like, which is something you can get if you, what, you guys know I'm a hypochondriac, right?
I know. I was like, all of a sudden, this is an issue? How many years have you been getting your period?
I know, but now I've been, like, seeing the news. Like, there's been a few, I mean, I don't want to bring it down. I don't want to bring the tone of this podcast down. But there's been, like, some news reports about, like, you know, women getting seriously ill or dying from toxic shock syndrome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I was listening to was the chemicals they've been putting in tampons now that didn't used to be there. And so that's something that I worried about for a long time. And I just don't, like, I have enough, like, hormones and everything else in my body. I don't want to worry about something else like that I'm putting into it. So they also sell tampons as well. They're kind of like the OBs, though. They don't have applicators. And so, like, those are ones, like, but they're 100% cotton, and I really like them. So if you're okay not using an applicator, those are great tampons that they sell. But But yeah, the one when Jen and I talked about it before, I was like, all right, I have tons of questions. What do they feel like when you wear them? Does it feel like you're wearing a diaper? And it doesn't. It feels like you're, like, the nylon ones I have, it kind of feels like a bathing suit bottom a little bit in the crotch. Like, it feels like regular underwear everywhere else. But it's kind of like that a little bit thick material that a bathing suit bottom would be like. But they're super absorbent. And like I said, on my light days, I wear thongs almost exclusively. So I definitely like wear those then. And then I asked her, I was like, you know, is there like an odor? Like that was another thing that I worried about too. Like, I was like, I don't want this to like smell, like, you know, whatever. And she was like, no, it's totally fine. So like I ended up getting like 4 pairs and like I sleep in them and stuff. I don't have to wear pads when I go to bed or anything, which is great. Like, you know, it's just, there are a lot of women that listen to this podcast. And you know what? We all get our periods.
It's all women.
Let me just put this out there.
If there's any men listening to this podcast, women, can you write into the program and tell us a little bit better about yourself?
We were just talking about it. And I was like, no, I want to talk about this on the air because I tried this product. I really like it. Like, definitely go for it. And I would get this for my daughters as well, for young girls, because I remember having those accidents and stuff at school, which were mortifying. I mean, even though, like, I wore pads, I've just always been, a menstrual heavy, like, stream.
Because you do everything extra.
Yeah, of course. To be over the top about all of it. So, like, even when I was in, like, high school or whatever, like, I wore pads and stuff, and it still wasn't enough. Like, or I felt embarrassed to go to the bathroom and, like, change out a pad and, you know, before I learned how to use tampons. And, like, I would have loved something like this, which was just an extra layer of security. So,
all right. I mean, did you say what the name of the brand was? Is it Thanks?
Thanks. I'm sure there's a couple different ones, but those are the ones that I've tried, THINX. And they're actually, it's a really cool email that they send out, like, either once a week or once a month. They send out really interesting facts about, like, our bodies and sex. And one of the emails I got last month that I read that I thought was super interesting was it was about homosexual safe sex, that's not discussed in school, that they talk about safe sex, you know, in a heterosexual sense. But, you know, like my friend who is a lesbian, I was talking to her about it and I said, did you ever have like a safe sex talk, you know, with your parents about when you're sexually active with, you know, a female, with your partner? And she's like, no, I just kind of had to like hope for the best. And I was like, wow, that is really scary. Yeah. For a lot of people, especially lesbians or, you know, people who don't identify with different genders or whatever it is, you know, depending on the type of sex they have, like, that's not really something that's taught. And so I thought it was really, like, cool that they're sending out this information and they're, like, trying to reach, like, everybody. I don't know. It's a really cool company. And I just wanted to support somebody who, it's a company I thought that was really awesome.
No, that is awesome. My parents didn't have the safe sex talk with me either. They were just like,
not even like heterosexual sex, safe sex.
No, nothing. They let me move to New York City. Yeah. By myself.
Oh my God. How did you find out about sex?
Planned Parenthood. Well, that's where I found out about how to like protect myself. Yeah. They were like my surrogate mother when I moved here. Not like I had to go there that often, but like.
You were like 17.
My mom had me at the doctor's office at 15.
Yeah, no.
She's my parents were like,
my parents were like, just don't have sex. Okay. That's. Good talk.
What did your mom
and I was like
the doctor
I was like
office.
The horniest preteen there was. I mean, like, I was the horniest teenager on the planet. It was like this.
Of course you were.
They were really hedging those bets because it was going to happen sooner or later.
You got told you weren't going to. So obviously you wanted it. Yeah. Mel, I want to know what your mom said because I love your mom. I want to know what she said when she took you in there. What did she say? Was she just like, get her on the pill?
She goes, yeah, you're 15. You're going to start trying things, hearing things, and it's going to help your period. So we might as well do this. We're going in. We're talking to the doctor. You're getting on the pill. And that's that. And we had the whole conversation. So before I ever had sex, I was on birth control. I was protected. My mom was ahead of the game.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is really good. I mean, I plan to just be really open with my daughter about sex as well and make sure that she's just not like just to live in the real world and be realistic about what, you know, kids are doing and thinking and saying to each other.
I wonder if I'll know when one of my kids do it, because I remember when I lost my virginity, it wasn't but like a month later, I like was walking through the kitchen and my mom turns and looks at me and she says, "You did it, didn't you?" And I didn't know what she was talking about.
God.
And
oh my God, she's like the Reaper. She can smell it on you.
And I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "Okay." And then she went back to washing the dishes.
That is, you gotta go ask her how she knew. We need to know.
Yeah, I gotta know.
She was just like, okay.
Wow.
Danny's coming in with the psychic shit.
That's crazy.
I don't need to be around her. I don't want her to see my secrets.
She's like, "I know what kind of porn you watch, Tessa." Like, shame on you.
Oh, you want to know something messed up about this? So for Christmas, I forgot to bring this up. I'm like, I'm going to do this man crate thing, right? So I get man crates for my mom or for my dad. And I come over for Christmas and my dad's opening his stuff and all of them. And there's all these man crates. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Does she listen to the podcast?
I listen to the podcast. I'm like, motherfucker.
I want to know how many fucking man crates I sold. I really, honest to God, like, it's...
Promo code Tessa.
I probably have so much promo credit.
Oh. They ask you when you purchase it. I put Read Me Romance, and she said she did, too. I was like, when it asked you where you found out about it, did you put Read Me Romance, too? And she said, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna...
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm gonna contact Man Crate, and I'm gonna ask them. I'm gonna be like, listen... We had a lot of people that bought the product for Christmas because of us on the podcast. And you know who the only other person I've contacted is? The Spike Seltzer Company. Because I feel like I've talked about them so many times.
Spike Seltzer?
That's so great.
I was like, hit a girl up, you know?
Absolutely.
And they emailed me back, but it was very generic. So.
Well, thank panties. I'm here if you want to reach
panties.
Out. I'm definitely down for that.
So the Reaper made it to the Reaper, made me think of vampires. And so I reached out yesterday to find out if you guys had read Twilight. And apparently Mel hasn't seen the movies or read the books. And I want to know why.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, Melissa?
I don't read young adult.
Yeah, like even you. So, but you're not even interested in the movie, like the romance of it?
No. There's a love triangle, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a reason. There's a reason for it.
I think I've heard the gist of it, and I'm good.
Do you guys know
Have you read it?
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You've read it, right? Okay.
That was like the darkest 6 months of my life, like after, like while I was reading it and after, and not because I didn't love it. I did. I loved Twilight. I loved it. But I just like, I don't know what happened to me. I went into this like dark fog where I was like, I didn't know love like this existed. And I was just like, where's my vampire? And I was just like,
oh my God.
Yearny. And
I
like,
feel really sane right now.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I feel really sane. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I was really suffering. I worked in I was a receptionist at a company in Brooklyn at the time. And there was a Barnes & Noble two blocks away. And I finished the first book while I had it in my lap while I was pretending to work. Second I finished it, I was like lunch break, early lunch break, went straight to Barnes & Noble, came back, opened the second one. I was in the fog for, I think it's like the week and a half it took me to read all of them. And
yeah,
I just remember like being so, like I couldn't be happy with my normal life after reading those books. It was so weird. I was like, when is this going to pass?
Are you guys trying to sell this? Because it's...
No.
Okay. I think it's
I give up on you. I just want to say to you, Mel, that like the reason, and spoiler alert, if you haven't read or seen Twilight, spoiler, that the reason, you know, she has the relationship with the werewolf is because he's imprinted on her unborn child.
Yeah.
Which is what happens and made it to the Reaper.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's not because they will like want to do it.
Yeah. It's because he saw the wife and was like, you're going to have my mate. Like he sensed it before.
And he had to protect her so that she could bear his
child.
His baby mama. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, there was like...
So she stole that from me? No, I'm just
totally plagiarized it. Word
Stephanie Meyer.
Yeah, thief. I'm sorry. Sorry, Stephanie Meyer, for inspiring that amazing connection. But I would say I felt the exact same way when I read Twilight. I think it was because it was like, you know, Stephanie Meyer is a heavy writer, and as in, like, her books are like 700 pages. I mean, she just writes and writes and writes and writes. But she also develops the scene really well. I mean, you know, it's simple writing. It's not overly flowery. You don't have to think about it. It's easy to read. But it just brings you into this. And when you read it, you really feel like you're in the story. She has a great way of bringing you in and making you feel like this is your story and you're a part of it. So I felt like when that series ended and the book ended, it felt for me like my story ended. And that's why I felt that sadness afterwards. That because like right. you said, like you said, like you had this darkness around you. Like, where does it all go from here? Because there's no more. And it's a first person narrative in the series that you read it from Bella, the entire series. It's all from one perspective. It's, you know, like I said, it's first person narrative. So you're saying, I held Edward's hand, you know, I walked through the woods, I did this, I became this. So as you go through, you learn, you know, everybody can identify with Bella in the beginning when she's this young, love-struck teenager who, you know, is kind of in a, you know, situation with her dad that's weird. And, you know, she's trying to figure out who she is and what she wants. And she doesn't have a lot of friends. Like, everybody can see that in themselves. So you immediately identify with this character and then you grow with her. And you fall in love with her and you become a woman with her. And so at the end of it, you're left with nothing. And it's just, it's heart-wrenching when it's over. Like, I've read that series back to back. I mean, just, I read it probably 10 times in a row because I couldn't stop.
I know. Like, I had to maintain that world around me because otherwise I felt like I was so lonely without it. Did I ever tell you guys that so at the height of the Twilight craze, Robert Pattinson filmed a movie around the corner from,
Was it Remember Me?
Oh, wait, did I already talk about this?
No, I just know that because I'm a fucking insane fan. So yeah, I remember him filming it after that movie.
He filmed it literally a block from my office in Brooklyn Heights.
No way.
Yeah. And so I would go down there every chance I got trying to catch a glimpse of him coming out of his trailer and going into the brownstone where they were filming.
Did you see him? Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see him?
Yes.
No.
Let me tell you the story.
No.
So I went down there and it's a giant crowd of people, girls. So I'm standing in the middle of this crowd and the production guy like makes a signal and Robert Pattinson comes out of his trailer and starts to walk towards the brownstone. And I'm standing in this big group of girls and all of a sudden, the giant crowd of girls at the same time in unison goes, Brooklyn loves you, Robert. And I'm standing there and I realize they're all 12 and I'm 28, whatever age I was. And I was like, oh my God. And he just does this he does this like little half like British wave nod thing, like humble British wave nod. And I was just like, and then I never went back down again. Like, okay.
Oh my God.
That's enough out of me.
No, but I really like that though. That's so sweet.
Yeah, no, he's like, I think I maybe still have some pictures on my phone. I gotta look and, I mean, they'd be in the cloud, I guess, but yeah.
Babes.
A bunch of people filmed,
so cool.
My friend, when we were talking about celebrity sightings a few weeks back, one of my friends from the office, Maggie, she listens to the podcast. Hey, Maggie.
What's up, Max?
She messaged me and she was like, you forgot to tell them about George Clooney. And I was like, oh my God.
What?
Yeah.
What?
George Clooney and Brad Pitt filmed Burn After Reading in Brooklyn Heights. And
stop it. I love that movie.
Clooney filmed. So I lived in the bottom floor of a brownstone that was.
That's
like,
the one where he builds the huge dildo for his wife.
What?
What?
Clooney does in that movie. Clooney does.
He builds.
Remember, he's in the
dildo?
Basement. He's building this like big. He's building this thing the whole movie. And at the end of it, you realize it's like a big sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for his wife to fuck. Like, he builds this huge thing. It's like his creation. You think he's like some awesome inventor, but it's just like this giant machine to fuck his wife. It's awesome.
What a hero.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah. Nothing. They filmed this scene with like where he's like, I think he's chasing down a reporter and he's like, what do you know? And he like tackles this guy in the street and he's like yelling at him. And I saw that scene being filmed. And John Malkovich was there as well.
I love John
Malkovich. And like the Coen brothers. Like I walked right past Ethan and Joel Coen. Yep. They were all right there.
Heck yeah.
I lived on the same block at the time. So I like lived right around the corner from my office. And it was one of the best 3 years of my life, like living in that area.
Dude, that's awesome.
Rent controlled apartment, everybody. If you can get your hands on
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no shit. good luck.
But yeah, so George Clooney literally was 10 feet away from me. And she was like, I cannot believe you were talking about celebrity sightings and you go with Ellen and not George Clooney. I was like, yeah, yeah. Good point.
Thanks a lot. No, I was going to say about Twilight. We were talking about that. And I thought, I'm supposed to get a tattoo at the beginning of the year. And so, because I've scheduled an appointment. So it's happening at some point soon. I'll always wanted to get an apple for not only for Twilight, which Twilight made me read again. Like I had never read for enjoyment a lot before that. And that wasn't like, I used to read a lot of like biographies and stuff. So I've got a ton of biography recommendations if anybody wants them. But Twilight made me fall in love with fantasy reading, and it made me want to become a writer. And then I wanted to get it, too, because it represents when we hit New York Times. That was like, one of the best moments.
That's a great, that would be a great, would you get it, yeah, a red one, a red apple?
Yeah, yeah, definitely a red one, yeah, because it just kind of represented all that for me. I thought it was really cool.
Do you have any tattoos, Mel?
No. My dad.
Is her dad there? She better say no.
Oh my God. My dad would kill me.
I love that you're like 30 something years old and you're like, my dad would kill me.
No, because my dad doesn't tell me I can't do something, but he will drive you insane. So for like the next 20 years, I'd be like, still got that stupid tattoo? Just every time, randomly, like 3 times a week. And so it's just like, you don't do things, so you don't hear his mouth.
It's not worth it.
It's actually very crafty.
Do you have tattoo, Tessa?
Yeah, I have.
Have we talked about this? Do you have a tattoo?
I don't know. I have two. I have one that I got in the Lower East Side maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. It's on my right rib cage. It says "This Time Tomorrow," and that's a Kink song, "This Time Tomorrow," and it's just about like how no matter what, like how things look today, this time tomorrow, everything's going to be completely different. And it's...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. And it's a reminder that, like, just to understand that the moment, like, is just a moment. It's not forever. And...
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, and then on my... Actually, I got another one this summer when I was in Dublin, Ireland, on my
left.
On my left forearm. I'm like showing it as if the people listening can see it. It's like it's a heartbeat. My brother actually drew it. It's a heartbeat, like, you know, like a jagged heart, like you'd see a heartbeat on a graph. Yeah. And my daughter's initials are embedded in it. So it's, yeah. MV.
I love that so much. I think that's just like, I think that's incredible because she really is your heart. Like
she
is. I love that.
Thanks. Yeah. I like the apple idea a lot. I think that's going to be cool. Where are you going to get it?
I've got a few, so I may like work it into something else. I don't know. So I'm supposed to get like a big thing this time. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
When I read about vampires, like the idea of fated mates made me wonder, do you guys believe in soulmates? That's what I'd like to know. Do you truly believe in soulmates, that there's one person for everybody?
I need to see what Mel says. I want to see what she thinks. I'm curious.
I don't know. You know, I think years ago I would have said yes, but as I've gotten older, I think that people are soulmates in time, in times of your lives. Does that make sense?
Oh, like, yeah, like, because isn't there like some sort of like study or research that like your personality kind of every 7 years your personality changes a little bit, or your preferences change, or you as a person, like every 7 years you kind of, parts of you become different or evolve, and how and so what you're saying is that like maybe in one of those evolutions of yourself there's a perfect person for you.
That makes
sense. Somebody that fits you better
at that time.
And that not all soulmates are like partners, like sexual partners.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can see that. Yeah. What do you think, Tessa? Do you believe in that?
Yeah, I do. I think that I do believe in soulmates. I do. Like, I really truly believe that if you see, I think that maybe, though, that I think that you might have more than one.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if that, like, you live in a world where maybe your soulmate lives in Hong Kong and you never come across them.
Yeah.
I think that there's probably more, you know, somebody that you can have an extreme connection with and maybe you cross paths with them and maybe you don't. But I do, I have to believe in it because of what we do for a living. Like, it's the ultimate dream, right? To have somebody out there that gets you and loves you for every little idiosyncrasy that you have, you know? So, Leah, no? Yes or no?
I absolutely believe in it, yeah. But I feel like it's not, like, I don't know if there's one person out there for everybody. I mean, and I don't want to sound, like, cynical when I say it. Like, you know, I don't know that there's, one of my friends told me one time, maybe there's not a lid for every pot, you know, that sort of thing. But I also, like, I have a feeling, like, gosh, I don't know how to go into this without getting too, like, deep about it. But I feel like maybe reincarnation might be a thing. So I wonder if, like, maybe if you don't find them in this life, maybe you find them in the next. But I feel like I found mine, like, for sure. I definitely found mine. So that's why I believe in it. Like, you know, when the second I saw my husband, I knew he was the one, and I knew, like, it was like I'd been searching for him my whole life and I didn't know it. And then I found him, it was like I wasn't tired anymore. You know, it was like, oh, damn it, it's about time, you know?
I mean, I don't, love at first sight is something I absolutely 1000% believe in. I did fall in love with my husband at first sight. But in terms of soulmates, though, I don't know if that's different. Is it different?
Yeah. Maybe so, because I like the idea of what Mel said about maybe a soulmate isn't necessarily a sexual partner, but like a best friend or something. Because, you know, I do feel that way, you know, with certain people I've met in my life. Like, you know, you have this, you know, otherworldly connection to, like, you've never had before. I mean, it was that way, you know, with Eagle, like, weirdly enough. And also with my other best friend, LB, like, you know, it was like when we met each other, it was just like, oh, there you are, you know? So I wonder, like, that goes back to my thing, you know, when I talk about it's, you know, like, maybe it is reincarnation or whatever, or spirit drifts on from one life to the next. That's sort of how I've always looked at it. I'm just personally, and my own personal beliefs, I'm agnostic, so I don't really have any religious connection to this. I just wonder if, like, you know, when we die, if our energy doesn't go someplace else. So,
because it's weird how you meet some people and how quickly you get close compared to, like, me being such an introvert, and I met somebody like you or Jeanette, and I'm instantly in, when usually it would take forever for something like that to happen with me.
And even in a sense like that, too, I mean, Mel, you and I had a connection that was, like, it was almost, like, sisterly. I wouldn't say, like, the first time we met, it wasn't like, oh, my God, like, cheerleader screaming, but it was just like, get your ass over here. You know, like, what are you fucking doing? Like, that, like, it was very, like the bond.
I've said that before, too. We're like sisters. Sometimes we're not always the best of friends, but we're always, like,
The bitch is always
sisters.
There.
Sisters.
But I would even say it, too. Like, even the first time I met Tessa, like, in person, I mean, that was, like, cheerleader shit, where it was like, dude! And we're just screaming at each other, you know? Like, there's a difference. Like, when you meet someone and you have a really strong connection with that person, and it was that way, you know, like, with Tessa, like I said, when we met, it was just, like, screaming Puff Daddy references at each other's faces for, like, 4 hours. Like, you know? Where it's like, I'm like, let's go gamble, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love gambling. I know. I totally, you know, like, there's some people that, like, you know, I think it was Indies Invade Philly or something like that, where we went and you guys were like, we're going to dinner, and I was like, I can't, I have plans, and you're like, cancel your fucking plans, we're going to dinner together. And I was like, I am going to cancel my plans and go to dinner. Because it was just like,
it was that, you know, mean girls, like, get in, bitch. Like,
it was get one in. Of those, like, rare things where, like, you I don't know, like, when somebody talks to you like that and you're like, just, I really respond to that. I really respond to big personalities and, and like, you know, you guys are like really mean and I don't think there's a lot of people that could appreciate that about you. I really appreciate
there's
it.
It's like there's a familiarity though with it. You know, like even with Jeanette and I, funny, like we are very honest with each other and, you know, like sometimes when we have words or anything like that to each other, we both agree to, you know, either disagree, but it's because we're both so passionate in our love that it's like, you know, we're either on a level 22 or we're on a level 1. Like, there's just no in between. Like, we're both, you know, we love big. We hope big. We dream big. Like, you know, we're both like, you know, just that same sort of personality. So we talk about that all the time, how it's like, you know, it's like, I don't need permission to love you with everything I have for as long as I can, for as angry as I, you know, it's like, I'm just going to love you until you just burst. Like, that's the way it's going to be. And you're going to get over it. So like, you know, I think that's a lot of it is that just those, when those personalities click and they click at the right time and the right way, we're all very lucky. So, and I think Mel and I got really lucky, really, really fucking lucky. And, you know, we got really lucky with you, Tessa, too, that it was like, you know, you're just this big ray of sunshine in fun in this mix. I mean, it's just such a good blend. Like, we got really lucky.
I just love that this book world has brought like a lot of people together as well. You know, I think I always say that these Facebook groups, you know, these private Facebook groups that are dedicated to romance novels are like revolutionary and nobody knows about them. Like, they really are just giving women, they're not only creating friendships, but they're, you know, they're giving women agency over their own sexuality and they're giving them permission to say, I like this or I don't like this. And so I just think that yay for romance and
absolutely
for helping it find each other and find friends. I mean, it's like amazing.
And like you say, just to give you your give yourself your own permission to, you know, be who you are. Let your freak flag fly.
Yeah. I don't know if we should keep talking. I have like one more thing to talk about, but I feel like we're at the 32-minute mark. What do you guys think?
We can do it on the other side. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. So, well, on the other side, we'll talk to you about next week, and then I'll just save the other topic for next week on the podcast.
Okay.
But okay, so we're going to play the final, we won't leave you in suspense anymore. We'll play the final installment of Mated to the Reaper by our very own Alexa Riley, and we'll talk to you guys when it's over. Okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 6. Ariella. My parents and my uncles are crowded near the trees close by. Grim and I didn't realize time had gotten away from us, but here they all are, coming to take me home, no doubt. What are you doing? I shout as Grim and I walk onto the porch of the cabin. Come inside and we'll talk, my mother says, pointing to Bishop's house. I nod, but Grim walks in front of me as they race to the house as quick as a flash. I don't know what they thought coming here would do, but clearly they knew I would find a way to him. I might have never acted out before, but this was enough for them to know I'm capable of anything. My body is tingling all over, and though Grim and I are connected in every way possible, it wasn't nearly enough time. I'm buzzing with the need to mate again, and I don't know how much longer I can wait. As if he can read my mind, he growls, low in his chest, and my body responds in kind. He reaches for me before we get to the house and pushes me up against the nearest tree. I won't wait much longer, he rumbles as he buries his face in my neck and kisses me there. I gasp, and my lower body clenches with the knowledge he was just there and stretching me out. I expected pain or a little ache, but all I feel is primed for the next time. I truly was made for him, and it was just proven to us in every way. A throat clears in the distance, and though I don't know who it is, I suspect someone is trying to tell us politely. They are waiting on us. Grim pulls away reluctantly and holds me close at his side as we walk in, making it clear no one is taking me from him. The fact that they aren't beating him off of me is a good sign, at least in my mind. What if it's a trap? Once we get inside, we walk to the living room where everyone but my parents are sitting. The two of them are tight together by the fireplace, and they won't look at me when I walk in.
"You've been relieved of your duty," Bishop says, and I look at him in confusion. That was not what I thought Bishop was going to say. "Reaper, you are no longer required to collect souls."
I look to him, worried for a moment that this might anger him.
"I don't understand," Grimm says, as he takes a step in front of me as if there's about to be an attack. It's not me they'd go for, but still he shields me.
Bishop stands up and walks over to his desk and points at some documents.
"While you two were," he clears his throat, "getting acquainted, I was visited by someone. I'm not sure how it works because the Reapers are very secretive of their traditions, but once you mated to Ariella, a call was sent out and a new Reaper was sent to take your place. He came to claim your axe, and since we had it here, I turned it over to him."
"You did what?"
Grimm's voice is angry, and the muscles of his back flex as he continues to shield me from my family.
"How could you do that?"
"I'm afraid I had no choice. I'm one of the strongest vampires in the world, but even you know that is no match for death."
Looks as though the Reapers weren't really asking. I doubt death ever does.
"I would never wish that life on anyone else," Grimm says, and I can hear the sadness in his voice.
I place my hands on his back, knowing collecting souls of the dying is a lonely job, filled with sadness that none of them would truly understand.
"But would you damn my daughter to the same one?"
My mother clips, but she refuses to look at him. I go to defend my mate, but Grimm's bellow stops me.
"No!"
Grimm's denial echoes through the room, and I step closer to him so that my form is fully pressed to his back. He reaches behind him for me, and I can feel him calm.
"I would never show my mate a moment of sadness. I'm willing to give up that life, but I don't want to curse someone else with it."
His words are pained. I know he's talking about our children. "It doesn't have to be this way," I say, as I peer around to look at Bishop. "Does it? You just said you're the most powerful vampire in the world. Can't you do anything?" I plead, knowing there has to be another way. Life can't be so unfair to try and claim more of my mate's life. He rubs his chin and thinks for a moment before he finally nods.
"If your kind is willing to share information with me, then I'm willing to work out an arrangement."
Bishop pretends as though he just came up with the idea, but I think it's been brewing. Bishop hated when there was knowledge out of his reach. He wanted to know everything he could.
"Such as?"
Grimm is hesitant, but his soul is hopeful.
"You stay here,"
Bishop says, and I glance over to see my parents both staring at me.
"I don't know if that's a possibility."
Grimm looks at my parents.
"Perhaps if we were welcome."
"Of course you would be,"
my dad says, and I know that he's being sincere.
"As long as you're no longer the Reaper,"
he adds.
"What do you want in return?"
Grimm says, addressing Bishop. He's giving up his life for mine, no hesitation.
"I want a chance to learn everything I can about your kind."
He holds out his hands as he steps forward.
I want you and Ariella to be here with our coven, so that she can be with her family and I can understand your kind. In exchange, I will consult the new Reaper and find a way to share his burden. That life is no way to spend eternity, and it shouldn't be on one man's shoulders for so long.
I agree. It's a job that needs to be done, but one can't bear it so long. Even vampires don't walk the earth that long all alone. Maybe that's why they die if they don't find their mate. It isn't a curse, but a blessing. Who would want to be alone that long?
What about our children?
He asks, cutting into my thoughts of what his life must have been like before me. After all our lovemaking, I could already have our baby forming inside of me.
I don't want our son to carry on what I was cursed with.
My heart aches for my mate even more. How can anyone think he's filled with darkness? All he thinks about is his children or me. Those are his first thoughts. He has no regard for himself.
Ariella is special,
Bishop says and nods at me.
She's mated you, which means she's changed your blood. No matter what child is born of yours, it will carry a part of her. No vampire shall ever rule as Reaper. Fate would never allow something so powerful to walk this earth. I think even Ariella tested that line of power with fate, having too much power. I think it's part of why fate paired you. Your children will be safe.
I know Bishop is right. Fate had been letting me die to bring death to me.
We didn't think this day would come, and we certainly didn't think it would be with a Reaper. But you are more important to us, and we can't lose you,
my mom says, and her eyes soften when she looks at me. There is longing coming off of her in waves, and I want to run to her and make it okay. But it's not just me now. If they want me, they have to accept the part of me that belongs to Grimm. This is the other half I didn't know was possible. I feel Grimm's strong arms wrap around me, and my whole body is warmed. He is my eternity. I want to be here and to stay with my family, but I won't do it if you are planning to try and convince me that I can't be with him, I tell them, drawing my line in the sand for everyone to see, especially Grimm. I would give up my life without hesitation for him, too.
We were wrong,
my dad says, and he moves closer to stand in front of Grimm. He looks him in the eyes and holds out his hand.
We love her too, and we just wanted what was best. We were wrong to stand in the way of fated mates.
Grimm shakes his hand and nods before he turns to me.
Is this where you want to be, my treasure? Do you want to stay with your family?
I bite my bottom lip to try and hold back my smile as I nod to him.
Then yes, all is forgiven. And we will stay.
Oh, thank God. I'm tired of the drama,
my Uncle Ezra says, and then I do let out a laugh. He's always the one to break the tension. Welcome to the family, my mom says as she takes Grimm in a hug. It was her, wasn't it? You felt her inside me. It's why you wanted to be near me. My mom whispers to Grimm. He gives her a nod. She smiles. To be so near your mate and to not realize what was happening, that she was still inside me. I understand why you left now. It had to have been driving you crazy. My dad closes his eyes in understanding, as if feeling Grimm's pain and imagining what that would be like.
I'm sad that he went through that. But there is something special about knowing we were created for one another. As soon as my mom lets Grim go, I'm being smothered by my parents, but only for a few moments before Grim pulls me back to his side. He's just like all the other mates here in his refusal to let me go more than 10 feet from him. But right now, I feel the same way, and I'm ready to be alone. "We'll see you tomorrow for dinner?" my mom asks, her voice filled with hope. Relief has settled over her. I can feel it.
"We'll be there,"
Grim says as he takes my hand and pulls me from the room.
"Show me where to take you,"
he whispers in my ear as we leave. I smile a real smile, not one that I have to force. There is no hurt or pain. Only happiness remains. I take his hand, and we run through the forest and back to my little home. As soon as we arrive, he scoops me up in his arms and carries me inside, kicking the door closed behind him. This time, no one is going to barge in and stop us, and I have a feeling Grim wouldn't let them take him a second time.
"It's been too long since I've been inside you,"
he growls as he tosses me on the bed and yanks at my clothes.
Chapter 7. Grim. Her lush curves are on display as I turn her over on her stomach and pull her ass into the air. I kneel down behind her and lick her secret places until she moans in pleasure. The taste of my seed is still inside her, and the primal calling within me is satisfied. Her scent is already beginning to change since she drank my blood. She's still just as sweet and perfect as before, but anyone who gets near her will know that she is claimed.
"Please, Grim,"
she begs as she rocks her hips back and grinds against my mouth. She's greedily taking what she wants from me, and I won't ever tell her to stop. I'm on this earth to give her pleasure and protect her. That is my sole purpose, and anything else is a failure. I have spent my whole life doing my duty to the world. Now is the time when I spend eternity worshipping my goddess. I can already feel the heavy weight of the Reaper leaving me. Its metal shackles have dissolved, and I don't feel that chill inside me. Now, there is light and sunshine, and it's all because my treasure loves me. I will never ask for anything else as long as I have that. Knowing that our children won't carry this burden makes me want to plant a seed in my Ariella right this moment. I suck on her clit from behind until she climaxes on my tongue. I can taste her sweet release, and then I move into position behind her. My cock is hard and sticking straight out as I slide into her warmth. She's still pulsing from her release, and she milks my cock as I rock in and out of her. She's slippery, and I have to grip her hips hard to gain purchase. Her body is soft, and when my fingers dig in, she moans in pleasure.
"Does this mean you'll give me a baby?"
she asks as she looks over her shoulder with heavy eyes. My cock releases at her command, and I give her what she's asking for. I will always give in to her desires, no matter what they are. She squeals as I roll us over so that she's on top and facing away from me. She rolls her hips as I continue to come, and she leans back. Her body moves as she takes what she wants, and I've never seen her look more beautiful. She's powerful on top of me as she moves the way she wants and extracts what she desires. I sit up so that my chest is to her back, and I kiss along her shoulder. When she tilts her head to the side, I graze my teeth along the edge of her neck, and the urge to bite her is bearing down on me.
"I love you,"
she says as she reads my mind and offers herself to me. "I love you too," I say, kissing along the tender skin before I do as she's begging me to. The connection between us grows tighter, and I feel her climax on my cock. The release is hard and she cries out, but I wrap an arm around her waist to hold her steady. Her skin is hot and she tingles all over as I come deep within her. A quiet falls between us, and in that moment, I can sense a change. Our connection is heightened, and it's sharper than ever before, and suddenly, I know that she will have my child. A seed is being planted as we stay joined, and she will give me the miracle I've always longed for. I never dared to dream of having a family of my own when it meant cursing a child with this burden. But now that the threat is not between us, the world is full of possibilities. She hums softly as she relaxes and leans against me, neither of us speaking for a long time. I lay us down so that I don't have to pull out, and we cuddle in bed together.
Could this be possible? Have all of my dreams come true so quickly?
Yes, I answer simply, because I know it's true for me. To have such a gift as Ariella is more than I deserve. But I'm a good man, and I will take care of our family. I place my large palm on her belly as we lay there, and I close my eyes, picturing what our child will look like. I hope if it's a girl, it's exactly like her. And I hope the same for a boy, too. Everything she touches turns to gold, and I'm lucky that she chose me. We may have had to convince everyone else to get on board, but eventually, she was mated to the Reaper.
What did you guys think? How was that? How was that for an ending, right?
It was probably the best book they've ever listened to in their whole lives this year.
And then, of course, the Alexa Riley listeners are like, where the fuck is my epilogue?
No, yep. Exactly. This is the best book of season two they've heard.
best book of season two so far. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yep.
100%.
I loved it so much. And I love the big family dynamic. And I love the little world. Like, I could feel the world of that. Just, like, where they lived. It was just, like, so real. And so, it was kind of like the compound where Mel lives with her family. Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely the compound. Well, I was going to say, what was your other vampire-related thing?
It wasn't really vampire-related, except that all this stuff, like, about, you know, fated mates and, you know, like, the calling between people and all that mystical stuff made me think of ghost stories and how ghost stories are my favorite thing to talk about.
No.
So I'm like,
are they? Wait, you maybe, like ghost stories?
Oh, my God. I will talk about ghost stories forever as long as it's light outside. So maybe we should do that. We should save up our ghost stories for next week. Oh, if anybody has a good ghost story.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we should
ask them to email us ghost stories.
Do you mean like one we've had or like one our parents always told us?
Okay, so it has to be someone in your immediate family or you. Don't email us like a ghost story that you like heard from a friend of a friend.
All right, I don't want to hear about the golden arms, okay? Like, give me a good one. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Okay.
Wait, I was going to say.
Okay, so next week on the... Wait, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, your book's not paranormal. So after us, we've got Rochelle Page and Susan Stoker, and then you. I was going to say, are any of those stories paranormal that we could tell these during those weeks?
But no, but like, when the fuck do we ever stay on topic anyway?
That's true. That's
I mean, we've gone
true.
From period panties to Twilight to soulmates
I feel like that's all related to the vagina, okay?
It is. It is all vagina
Doesn't
adjacent.
Doesn't everything go back to the vagina?
Yeah, that's literally what she said. Everything. That's what she said.
Okay, so next week on the podcast, Leah said, we have Bounced Into Love by Rochelle Page. Do you guys think I should read the blurb really quick?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, okay. I love Rochelle.
Let's hype it up.
Okay, so this is Bounced Into Love by Rochelle Page. He hadn't done anything to deserve her. Jackson Swift felt like his hands were still dirty after the things he'd seen and done as a collector for a Las Vegas bookie. Although he left his past behind him, he never expected to find someone like this, like his red-haired angel when he came to Chicago. But that didn't mean he was going to let her go. Kiara Kelly is too shy to approach the smoking hot bouncer who's caught her interest. Lucky for both of them, Jackson doesn't have a timid bone in his body, and once he makes his move, there's no going back for either of them. Nice, right?
Ooh, I love it. I love Rochelle. I'm excited to read this.
Yeah, so that's next week on the podcast. It's got a super, the cover, if you guys haven't seen the cover of this
one. Oh, I'm so excited for this cover.
It's a Mel special.
Dots, right? Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, he's like thrown over her shoulder and it's just like, Mel's like a works magic when it comes to stuff like that. And this is probably the best one.
It's for so me good. So far.
I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah. We'll let you go. We'll catch up with you next week. And Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make your day your bitch. Don't be a dick. That's it.
Okay. We love you guys. Talk.
Bye.
You know, we'll catch up with you soon. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Why am I waving?
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.